your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Well, I'll tell you what, Alex Jones broke a heck of a story earlier today in Austin, Texas. And we're going to play that clip. It's approximately 11 minutes and about 5 seconds.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
My crew is literally just saying, this is too sensational. This is unbelievable. Let me quantify this for you. For 2+ hours, Kit Daniels has been doing research on this when I said I smell Harry Reid involved in this. And compiling AP, Reuters, Breitbart, CNN, New American Magazine, World Net Daily, all about how a weird deal with the Chinese government and Harry Reid and his son, Harry Reid making money off of it. We're going to show you a mainstream news article that shows where the wind farm and solar farm begins. Is on their ranch, the 600,000 acres. That's the county. That's it right there bordering Arizona. And then we discovered by doing searches, BLM documents that are on Google's Wayback Machine, but removed from BLM, but confirmed by Google to be where they said Bundy's the last one. He's got to be removed. Nothing to do with the tortoise, none of it. In fact, the BLM's going around killing all the tortoises. That came out a year ago. So let's go back to the map. We'll blow that up. Now you're saying, okay, well, this is in the news 2 years ago. What's the big deal? Because Fox News, CNN, that are all there, right on time the militia shows up, you know, as the media shows up, so they can all make it about that. Again, I'm not demonizing the militia. I'm just saying a lot of militias are really federal front groups that's come out before, and I'm sure these are good militias. We'll see if they provocateur or how the story changes. Because the media all just arrived, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, you know, antenna trucks, helicopters, it's all arriving. And believe me, they're not going to want it to come out that Harry Reid and the communist Chinese are involved, because Republicans have been bought up by the Chinese government as well. They dictate what Hollywood movies can have now. And so now the media shows up right as entering the stage, the whole world's a stage, each of his players upon it, William Shakespeare, enters all the militia groups. And some of them, I'm sure, are good. Some of them, we've done a little research, and, well, it'll all come out. The point is they want to make it all about a standoff and a war. Instead, the issue is, I said, you know, I bet Harry Reid's involved. He runs everything in Nevada, and he's super corrupt, and he's always involved in scams, and he's involved in all these bribery scams and payoff scams right now, and Attorney General's protecting him. I want to search Harry Reid because Democrats are making threatening comments in the area, and they all look really angry. And I've only seen threatening comments before when there's a land scam, and they usually cut locals in on it. And I said, Harry Reid, nothing happens in Nevada lest Harry Reid gets a slice of it. Well, we literally found hundreds of articles. If you type in Harry Reid, solar farm, Chinese, mainstream news, where they're all questioning it in 2012, his involvement in all this, because that was so unseemly. Now, it is the ranch that this guy's got grazing rights to, and the BLM has been told, you do whatever you want to those people. You keep them off, get the cows dead, destroy their water, Get the tortoises out of there. It's ours. And then the media, I guarantee you CNN and all them knew this. They're CIA. They have been sent in there to make this about shootouts and the militia. I'll guarantee you that's going to be what they're going to go with. You watch tonight. Fox is going to do it, too, because they're all sold out to the Chinese and the Saudi Arabians and the rest of it. And they're going to go in there and make it about land rights, but only on the surface. While the big issue is right in the middle of this is the Chinese government and Harry Reid. We are breaking in 10 minutes the documents, the links, Kit Daniels' article. It's a rush job. We're going to be adding more. We're going to link to it with updates. Watch and be ready to update your article and link to it, the one that's linked on Drudge. County Commissioner says Bundy supporters better have funeral plans. We're going to update that article. There it is, National Journal. Go back to that National Journal for me. How Harry Reid delivered a 235-mile-long power line to Nevada. The Senate Majority Leader's political influence helped get a 235-mile transmission line for renewable energy built across Nevada, with the Chinese government financing it, and it's on Cliven Bundy's ranch. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the rest of the story, and that's what this is all about. And we got the documents where they mention running him out, and now they're there running him out. They tried to buy him out, and they couldn't do it. This is incredible. It's all Obama and all these energy deals where they insiders get the money. A bunch of insiders get the money off the wind farm in West Texas. I'm not against these energy programs, but half these windmills don't even turn. It's just a scam. Man, Harry Reid is a piece of trash. No wonder he wants our guns. He's a criminal that's robbing America. He wants the people he's robbing disarmed. Robbers tie you down, folks. Now let's go to the Bundy Ranch. My head is spinning to see listening devices, cameras, snipers on the hill trained on people. And it's also the communist Chinese government can steal ranch land from Americans so Harry Reid can get a big fat slice of money. I'm just reeling right now. This is about to break. How big do you think this is? And will they sweep it under the rug, David Knight?
Well, this is huge, Alex. The research that Kit Daniels has found linking Harry Reid to the Bundy Ranch is just amazing. We've had linkage before in the fact that his former staff member is now the head of BLM. But the fact that they tie it to this particular ranch, and we understand now what's behind it, the Chinese connections for this solar farm that they're going to put out here, that's amazing. But this operates at a lot of different levels. And, of course, at one level, it's what are they going to do on the ground? Are they going to defend the people? Do we have a law enforcement agency here, a sheriff's department that's going to defend the people to do what they're supposed to do? There's going to be
They line up with Chinese soldiers and bayonet citizens, guaranteed. They'll do anything they're told.
That's right. We're going to, right after we finish with this report, we're going to go into Vegas. There's going to be a demonstration at the sheriff's office that's at Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department on 400 South Martin Luther King Boulevard in Las Vegas. And, of course, there's a lot of people that have gotten the news to go out and to protest the sheriff, at least shame him for not doing his duty, for not protecting the citizens here from outright theft of cattle, and then it will be the theft of their land and the brutalization of the Bundy family that we've seen.
I wish we had two teams out there, because if you go to that, they assault people every evening there. I want to catch that on tape.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be back after the demonstration, but I don't know. We'll take your guidance, see what you think is more important for us to either be here.
I don't know. I don't know what you think. You're the guy on the ground there. It's just that
I think there's going to be a lot of people there, but, of course, there's a lot of stuff happening here. We also have some out-of-state representatives who understand the constitutional issues involved here that are going to be coming and speaking. We have a stage that's being set up back here in the back, a makeshift stage. And so they're going to be coming in here tonight. There's going to be a lot of activities here. It's going to be a lot more like a media circus than it's been the next couple of days.
What else has been going on while I've been hyperventilating?
Well, basically, as I pointed out before, in the as we first started, the big media has really moved in. We got CNN planted themselves right underneath the metal structures. They erected these flagpoles that you see out here just a couple of days ago. They bolted them to some concrete, and they've got some banners up there. They took one of them down to do some repair or either take it to the demonstration that's going on in Las Vegas. And so now we see the national media is actually boots on the ground here. We also see Fox News is coming in with their helicopter. They were circling around and around and around, so I don't know what's going on with that. But we broke this story. Paul Joseph Watson broke it on Monday. That's when it became a national story, when Drudge picked that up. And they still don't have the story. They still don't get the understanding that this is about rights, and certainly they don't have the information that you just broke about the connection with Harry Reid and the Chinese and the documents scoping out the Bundy Ranch in advance.
Premeditated,
yes.
Foreign takeover with a traitor. Sensational.
That's right. That's right.
Just simply sensational. It just never ends. This is like a James Bond movie, how evil these people are. I mean, of course, James Bond books were written by Ian Fleming. It was in the OSS, so it's based on a lot of real scenarios. The one they made a few years ago, not the last one, the one before last, is about shutting the water off to take over the country. That was based on a true story from just a decade ago. I mean, it's just so criminal how they don't build anything. They just seize and scam assets all day.
Yes. They want to turn everyone into renters. They don't want anybody to own anything. They want to move everybody off the land, whether it's this land, then it'll be the suburbs. They want to move everybody into small areas in the city under Agenda 21. And, of course, they want to take all of our rights, whether it is grazing rights and water rights this family has had for over a century, about 140 years, whether they want to steal that or whether they want to steal your property rights, whether they want to steal your privacy. Everything is up for grabs. They're taking everything. And the question is, how do we get these people under control? A lot of people believe that, of course, one of the places that it has to happen is that local law enforcement. They need to start standing up. So there's a
well, that's why the globalists have been federalizing their training and everything else and turning them into attack dogs. Then it's game over. We need to take our cities and counties back and sheriffs back now and stop stepping and fetching when we see government. We tell them, you work for us, not the Chinese government.
This guy who's a sheriff here, I just found out, he is not up for re-election. He is standing down. So he's doing his he's doing the bidding of the feds, I guess, so he's going to get some kind of nice, cushy position when he retires from here. Because I think if he were to stay any longer than this fall's election, he would probably be recalled, and rightfully so.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. David Knight, just carry on, cover whatever you think. If we get more funds and stuff, we'll get even more reporters. We'd have two teams out there, but... all of our reporters are doing just a fabulous job, and the people that showed up out there, I'm told it's in 300, 400 folks now at any one time out there. The numbers are just growing. You know, a lot of people live in Vegas. They should all go out there this weekend to see tyranny firsthand, to see the enemy, to see the BLM run by Harry Reid's former chief of staff, openly stealing property, openly taking police dogs at women, trying to scare them. I mean...
What's been going on out in Nevada is there's a rancher, Cliven Bundy, and Cliven Bundy is under siege by the feds. The Bureau for Land Management has surrounded his ranch and he's accused them of rustling his cattle and stealing his cattle. There's a dispute. These are federal lands that he's been grazing on, his family claims, for over 140 years. So he has certain rights to graze cattle on this open range land that's owned by the federal government. The feds have moved in, the Bureau of Land Management, and they're trying to close him down. There was a confrontation just yesterday out there between Cleven and some of his sons, one of his sons, and they found a bunch of broken water pipes in the back of a big dump truck. There were something like 20-something vehicles that were escorting this dump truck and so forth through the area. And they were trying to hide the fact of what they were, you know, a big convoy, in other words, hide what they were doing. They're ripping out the water structure, the infrastructure out there, so to run these people off. Well, you know how Alex Jones gets a hair, you know, sometimes a feeling about things. Well, he started saying, Harry Reid over at his office today. And before you knew it, Paul Joseph Watson, one of his key writers and researchers in England, he asked him to look into this, to research. Well, before you knew it, there was a breaking story that was posted on Infowar.com, and I would direct our listening audience to go there and read that story just as soon as you hear this broadcast. Go in there, because Harry Reid is quite a scoundrel by many people's opinions and so forth, and so there's no doubt that Harry Reid is involved with this. His former director of the Bureau of Land Management, who used to be the former senior advisor to Senator Harry Reid, he's a Democrat from Nevada, is head of the Bureau of Land Management. And so they also, Alex went in there, and they went to a machine, Wayback Machine, and found out that they had deleted some government information. Actually, Free Republic, which has done a fine job over the years in going back to Wayback Machine and regurgitating lost documents and so forth, had done a fine job in doing that. What they're discovering about what's going on out there, really, is that they want Mr. Bundy off his land, because they made a deal. There's a deal that's been made with the Chinese company, see, and they're going in there with some kind of utilities scale solar power generation facility on public, this is called public lands, okay? And this Gold Butte is the area that they're fighting over. It's in dispute right now. I believe Mr. Bundy, the rancher, Cliven Bundy, claims to have somewhere between 600 and 900 head of cattle out there. And what's happened is that the feds have gone in and gotten, you know, hired some, it sounds like the range wars in New Mexico with Billy the Kid was part of the regulators against these very crooked cattlemen out there in Lincoln City, New Mexico. But anyway, there's a range war that's slowly, not slowly, but quickly forming here. And, it relates directly to a man's land use. Now, Cleveland Bundy has maintained that he needs more help, and all of a sudden the Idaho militias and I think the Montana militias are showing up. And these people, some of these people are already are armed and ready for action. So we want cooler heads to sustain themselves and be more prevalent and more influential. You know, these younger people with rifles and guns and everything, thing could blow up out there. But some things that took an interesting turn, though, for the better today was reported that Stuart Rhodes, founder of Oath Keepers and a friend of mine, and I fully support his actions and his Oath Keepers, and what Oath Keepers is that they'll go out and recruit people that are in the military or law officers, and they swear an oath to just honor and defend the Constitution. That's all the U.S. Constitution. So that's what Oath Keepers is about, and I fully support that action. In fact, I interviewed him down at a Ron Paul rally in 2012 in the Sun Dome in Tampa, Florida. He was sitting right to my left, and the guy way over my left over there was Bruce Bullock, who's helped get Ron Paul elected 7 times. These people going out there, Chuck Baldwin is reported to be another person going out there. Sheriff Mack, Richard Mack, is reported on the way or already out there by now. And there's the recent reports about who's in the area there on the Cleveland Bundy Ranch is about 400 people. So with the buildup that's occurring, I just hope for the best. I just hope there's not any major, you know what I mean, confrontation. And I hope cooler heads can prevail under a lot of pressure. But anyway, the Bureau of Land Management, they got caught with their pants down on this by Alex Jones. And so it's going to remain to be seen what type of an impact that this is going to have on Harry Reid's career. It couldn't have happened at a worse time for the Democrats, because the Democrats are under a lot of pressure in the Senate, and Harry Reid is the majority leader in the Senate. He's the guy that always does all these little dirty tricks on people, you know. But, you know, what we've got to do here is we've got to get away from partisan politics. I just ran into a friend of mine the other day, and he used to be a writer. Daryl is his name, and he wrote some fine pieces, you know, for Austin Chronicle. Then he moved on to the city council and did a job there. And I think now he's over at the water utility. But, and he's on that Democratic left side, you know. But he did, in his early writings, he did expose a lot of problems at City Hall. And then when he became a city council member, he saw it firsthand. And we just seemed to remark about, we just talked about how big government is getting and things like that in a passing way. We've got to try to control what's going on in government. It's totally out of control now. And it's just scary about what's going on. A friend of mine, David, won't say his last name. He reports back to me and keeps me up to date. Well, what happened the other day? Someone asked me, and they were talking about Captain America. I said, who is that, you know? Well, they started laughing, you know. Hey, George, you don't know who Captain America is? I said, no, I missed it, you know. When I was a young boy, my uncle used to have wrapped up 10 comic books, and he sent them over to me and my brother to read, and I don't think my sister read much of that. My brother and I read most Superboy and Superman and all that stuff. But somewhere in there, we missed this Captain America, I guess. That maybe they was a little later on, you know. But anyway, I guess I'm a little bit culturally deprived or depraved or something like that. But, when I start looking, you know, at what's going on throughout the world, then I don't think, my upbringing and my culture is that bad at all. Because I do have certain things that I stand on and that I won't move off of for money or anything. I mean, you have to take a stand sometimes, and you have to let people know that you're not going to go past a certain line, you know, and that's it. Yeah, and the heck with money or anything else. Give me $1 million, $5 million, $10 million. It's not about money. It's about doing the right thing. And I know we've gotten into a worship of mammon and money, and it's gotten so overwhelmingly just big and immense that it's hard to overcome that, because the dynamics of mammon and money power and have these big houses and these big cars. But you know what? Eventually they bury you. So you come into the world as a child, a helpless baby, and then they bury you. And sometimes when you get old and you get decrepit and dementia sets in and so forth, what they put in the grave is not much of a human anymore, see? So, and life is so short. And, I had an interesting conversation with a young man this morning. He said, well, everything's a lie, you know, he kept saying that over and over. And so I said, well, how about delusion, you know? And that's what I talk about a lot, about delusion, you know? And to come out of that, you have to forgive. Anyway, go into Infowar.com and read that interesting article by, Paul Joseph Watson. And, this Harry Reid thing, there's all kinds of CNN trucks out there now. I think some satellite trucks have moved in to the, Cliven Bundy Ranch. And there's over 400 individuals backing him up out there now. So this could really, develop into a very, very meaningful confrontation with the feds. One of his sons saved some people by just going after when they saw the feds taking off after other individuals that went down by the river the other day. Well, they just took after him and saved one young boy down there from the feds being beaten all to hell, you know, and they just pushed him off what they said. Now, one of Cleveland's sons got hit with, I think, 3 tasers. And I think the story went that some lady out there, and I forget her name, she pulled out 1 or 2 of them. You know? Maybe these country girls aren't so bad after all, are they? I mean, you know, they'll stand up and fight for you, won't they? Because they stand for something. That's what we have to get back to in this country. We have to get back to men and women standing on principles. And casting that money, that love of money and that greed, and that yearning, that hunger for all this money, set that aside. And evidently this gal out there that pulled 3 of those taser things out of young Bundy out there, pretty gutsy young lady. So you know, that takes a lot of guts and everything. And boy, I tell you what, I must really commend her for that. We still have ongoing a lot of other crises in the world. On the 22nd, 23rd, we wrapped up our conference. And at that conference, we accomplished some goals there, I must say. We did a few things that the first day I made a mistake and just sent out the webcast to everybody free, and they liked that. Well, the second day I said we got to try to offset some of our expenses, so the second day I put it up to where you had to pay maybe whatever you wanted to, but you could come in. You could pay a dollar or two and still get in, you know. We suggested $10, and we did have some contributions. But the second day, we didn't have nearly the viewers, but what happened, too, was that we had technical problems. And both Farrell Montgomery's computer that was being used to do Skype in from all over the country, it was hit with a blue screen of death, and mine was, too, at the same time. A friend of mine says maybe it could have been a power glitch or something that will cause things like that also. We don't know if it was a hacking or if it was a power deal or whatever, but it did occur. I want to thank Dr. John Apsley immensely, and David Yerth, and all the other fine people that came in to make, we had a few glitches. We're not going to say that. We could have used more time in setting up. So we started off a little rough. Dr. Dale was there, and Dale Klein was there. So we got him up and running, and he gave a fine presentation to start the thing off. And then Apsley came in, and Yerth came in. Before you knew it, that first day. Also, what was a surprise was Mike Adams, okay? He came in towards the end of this, about a week and a half, about 10 days before we were to begin, and I had one opening. I had one man canceled out of University of Missouri. So I said, okay, fine, we got this 45-minute thing. Mike said, fine. Boy, I tell you what, Mike Adams is a game person. He's a fine person. He came in and did a fine job. We could have given him longer time, more time than that. Absley was great. Akira Tukuhiro, Japanese nuclear scientist out of the University of Idaho. We had a panel discussion of Absley and Yerth and Akira, and it went over okay. It just worked out, you know, that first day. The second day we had, it's a little bit tougher because we had much more of a technical, you know, obstacle to overcome. But we got Catherine Valensky in there, a Russian out of Chernobyl area that finally had to move to Belarus. And then aptly reiterated Steve Hines. He was quite a speaker and very, very deep, knowledgeable. Ben Fuchs followed him up on the Skype screen. And then we've tried to get Helen Caldicott in. We're going to do a follow-up interview with her. She was with a sick friend in Greenland coming back from Copenhagen. So we sort of missed on that one. But I want to thank Janice and Mary Anderson and Randall Mock and Farrell Montgomery, all those people that really bent over backwards to make this a huge success. Colin Diggs, thank you also. And Jeffrey Adler, he helped out on one of our computers. And so overall, we were pretty happy with the results. The scuttlebutt has gotten back to me that there might be, in the near future, another, conference, on the West Coast. And so we're just waiting to see that happen. And we'd be more than happy to support them in any way they might want us to. We'll send all of our files out there and just really, accommodate them in any way possible. Gary Vesperman was also a sleeper. on this deal. And Gary Vesperman out of Las Vegas, Nevada, thank you, Gary Vesperman. Keith Ridgway for a lot of support out of Salt Lake City. We want to thank you also. Gary Vesperman put up a radioactive neutralization methods, a couple of files in there that were PDFs and some very, very in-depth. We've got a lot of people that came out of this conference because of some of the things we did synergistically here. I want to thank David Barrow, my co-producer on this, for providing us all the equipment that we needed to pull this off. And his wife, Laura, she's done a heck of a lot. I've borrowed her camera over the years on other production. Thank you, Laura Barrow. And so anyway, light a little candle. We had a singing there, a song that ended it. Yoshimi, okay, Japanese lady, led the singing. And also Shay. And they did a fine job. We had supporters early on in the game. Ed Page bought a couple of our t-shirts. Thank you, Ed, and your wife. We want to thank Gordon Walton and his wife, Laura. They contributed money to us. Thank you, Gordon and Laura. We certainly appreciate all the help we've gotten from you over the years. And Debbie, we have her under supporters. She bought a couple of t-shirts from us. We have a picture of her on the web. Thank you, Debbie, for helping us out on that. And we really do appreciate each and every one of you out there that helped us. The it's amazing that one thing can lead to another. And what we're going to do, and we need some help on this next project. If you go into We the People Bilderberg, okay? WeThePeopleBilderberg.com, okay? Go into that site, and you're going to come on up on a it's a site I'm still building. This WordPress I'm new to, okay? So this morning I got up at 4 o'clock and went over and sat down at a hamburger place 24 hours, and I just went after it, you know. But I'm sort of slow, you know. But I'm learning, okay? So this Builder, We the People, Bilderberg.com. If you can remember that, We the People, Bilderberg.com. Bilderberg. And that's all one word. We the People, Bilderberg.com. Go in there. That's going to be our major site. Now, in addition to that, though, we do have a Facebook site. And if you go into Facebook under events and look at We the People Bilderberg, that will come up. We've got some other people we're working with over in Copenhagen now. And that's what this is about. We the People Bilderberg is about putting on a symposium, okay, a two-day symposium. And that symposium is going to be, okay, in Copenhagen on the 30th and 31st, okay? Now, what's going on over there is that the Bilderberg group, which is the very most powerful group in the world, is meeting there on the 29th, 30th, 31st, and 1st. I think there's 3 to 4 days right in there. That last day might be their actual travel day. We have them in there for 29th, 30th, and 31st, I believe. And what we are intending to do is that we have, and I just upped the number of major world problems because I had three lumped together. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to be bringing together, okay, some of the finest speakers in the world, period. And we're going to get into different aspects of what's really going on here. And if you start looking at the world about major problems, like, let me sort of tick off some of these major problems here and then get you an idea, okay, of what's really going on here. Is that the number one most pressing imminent problem right now is Fukushima Daiichi. That's why we had the conference here at the university in Austin, March 22nd, 23rd. It is the most pressing of all problems because it's spewing forth a lot of radiation. It's endangering marine life in the North Pacific, and eventually it's going to be spread throughout the world. We've got to try to get a handle on this. We've got to try, we've got t-shirts out there. Come into our site, FukushimaSolutions.com, and buy t-shirts from us. We need some sales. We need sales that'll help us get over to Copenhagen. Okay. But come into We the People, Bilderberg.com, and you'll be able to see how you can help and donate and buy shirts and so forth and so on. We're going to design another t-shirt too, but we'll have that Fukushima t-shirt available for sale on, We the People, Bilderberg.com. There are 10, really major pressing problems that we see. And here's the way it lays out according to my thinking here. And these are sort of general terms that we're not going to go into detail at this time. We see the Fukushima Daiichi, as a continual, catastrophic ongoing event. We've got to stop this, spilling forth of this radiation. The number two, and actually it's more of an umbrella, is 9/11 and the implications for the future of that event in New York City. We just got to look at that in detail. Number three is the money problem. We've got to start talking about, I've invited G. Edward Griffin to come over, and I haven't heard back from him yet, but G. Edward Griffin, if you hear this or some friends hear this, we need you over there bad, and we'd like for you to tell us all about the money problem. Number four is food, okay? I'm in contact, with a fine lady, Marie Monique, Robin, who did the World of Monsanto, I think it was, and a lot of other good books. She's got a book on poison, the food that's poisoning us or something like that. Now, that's number four. I'm not saying she's going to be there. I hope she'll participate on some level, either Skype her in or have a previous interview or a video or something. But Marie Monique is a really fine person. She's done some outstanding work. Number five is panopticon. Now that word, and I think I've explained it before, comes out of Samuel and Jeremy Bentham's working together with industrialists in Eastern European countries about how to surveil their workers and look at them all the time. And I think it evolved into much more of a prison system. But it's a surveillance grid that has evolved with NSA there leading the charge. We're going to talk about that over there. The delusion, and I have down here on the site, educating into delusion. I think I might take a stab at that. And we're going to talk about how education has been used to educate us into a delusional state, but not an enlightened state. We have a lot of knowledge and facts and figures in our heads, but we don't really have wisdom and understanding and enlightenment. Number seven is environment. We'll probably get into this global warming issue, and we might even have a battle of the global warming versus global cooling or whatever. Number eight is communication. And what we're saying about that is, there have been people in the past, and they're still saying it, sign this petition, so forth, to keep the internet free. And we've got to maintain my own idea about communication is to have totally open communication for individuals, okay, and encryption, any kind of deep encryption for any individual, but deny that to governments. That way governments would have to be totally transparent, and that's my communication solutions right there. We'll get some top communications man in, and if not from Europe, we'll try to get somebody in from here. Number nine, top secret. We need to cut down on this secrecy and the classification of documents into secret type of levels, because what's happening is they're hiding a lot of criminal activities behind this national security facade. And I said that to a friend of mine the other day. She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, really." Unfortunately, it's the truth, you know. But that's number nine, okay? Number 10 is medicine. okay, the modern medical model, and Dr. Apsley and Steve Hines really brought to our conference there, the Fukushima conference, some of the really outstanding gains in the field of medicine. So integrative medicine used the very best of modern medicine along with a minimal use of drugs and medicines along with some of the newer treatments. And that's basically what could go on there and make a big difference. The pharmaceutical problem is number 11, and we know how great this is. And we've got all these big pharmaceutical giants that are just continuing to gain billions of dollars in profits. And one example, excuse me, just recently was on this Fort Hood shooting out here. These psychotropic drugs or psychiatry drugs, we know they set off and set off episodes, psychotic episodes. They can initiate and set into motion certain psychotic fits or episodes. Dr. Ann Blake Tracy out of Salt Lake City has written the book on Prozac years ago. She has discovered and through her research and so forth, a sort of a rapid eye movement type of mechanism that works in conjunction with some of these psychotropic drugs where a person, normally the rapid eye movement is an indication that you're in a sleep, dream state when you're sleeping at night. And, the optic nerve begins to move very rapidly because there's internal processing of imaging that's taking place internally. And so that's why you have the rapid eye movement that occurs. Well, she's saying, Ann Blake Tracy is saying that these drugs that they've been administering to people are setting up people to go into that kind of a state, an awaking state, a walking state, to where they'll just all of a sudden, see what I mean, get into this rapid eye movement mode, and they'll start experiencing, because that's tied to dreams and nightmares and that sleeping state, see, then they'll recall or they'll call up some kind of a nightmare that could be hellish, and then they'll believe that that's reality, and they'll be striking back at people and killing people, their families sometimes, because they're drowning in this nightmarish reality, virtual reality that's not true. At the end of these episodes, sometimes amnesia is there and they can't remember what they really did. I mean, it's tragic. And all these pharmaceuticals have been lobbying the Pentagon for years. In 2005, according to Peter R. Bragan and Bart Billings. Now, Bart Billings out of West Coast and Peter R. Bragan out of New York, Ithaca, New York, are two of the finest experts, some of the finest men, and they stand on principles when it comes to psychotropic drugs, psychiatry drugs. Both are in agreement they should not be in the VA system at all. They should have never been given to our combat soldiers. That was a big, big mistake. And it caused even more problems, even in combat, to these, because then that's some of these soldiers in combat would experience some of these psychotic fits and episodes, and it just made things even worse. See, we've had killings over there that are unexplained, and they could be tied to the use of the administration, the prescribing of these types of drugs. That is just another big problem, okay, the pharmaceutical problem. Now, number 12, I listed as number 12, is probably the biggest problem that we have, and that's hatred, see. In other words, we're into hating, see, but we're not into forgiving, see. And what we have to do in this world, or what we must try to do, is we must try to come out of this state of hating and resenting, and forgiveness can do that, see. And the glory and the divine teachings of that dynamic of forgiving and forgiveness, it's a cult breaker, see. this young man that I talked to this morning, I came up, he came up to me after I left. I was standing outside. I was on my way out. And I went up to him and I said, I just gave you the best gift in the world. And that's about forgiveness, the lesson of forgiveness. And he looked at me and I said, yes. And I said, I'll tell you why it's the best gift that I could give you, someone could give you. I don't want anything from you. That advice that I gave you, that lesson I gave you didn't cost you anything. And it frees you because it breaks cults. It's a cult breaker. That's why the other side over there, the satanic, the dark, the Luciferian, the man-centered, the hatred, man-centered humanistic, man-centered secular humanism side versus the other side. Okay? These are the two, this is the argument. These are the confrontations that are occurring. And they have been going on for a long time. The problem that we have today is that people are turning into animals more than they used to be. They've turned feral on us, you know. And in that feral state, they're not awake to the way they are. They can't see themselves. They get in front of that television, they're mesmerized, and that teaches them to just be just very passive and, you know, and just take in what's on that. Then they run across in the evening television prime time, they run all these programs in there and they mesmerize them with all of this terrorism and all this other stuff that reinforces the big lie about 9/11. I'm on the 9/11 truth side. I'm sorry that I stand for truth. If there's anything that I stand for, over this almost eight years at Charlotte Littlefield and I've been broadcasting, I stand on 9/11 truth because it's the most dangerous, the most ugly and evil event that's been promulgated on the American continent in America. The men that put that together are the most evil people in the world, and that's why we're experiencing the problems that we have today. They've taken our police force and our military and gone animal with them. Give them drugs. Give them psychotropic. Give them ugly things. Give them pornography. Give them no principles, no moral restraint about anything. So do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. See, this is the kind of society that we have today. And in that kind of society, when anything goes, that's the tendency to reflect the basic concept and idea of Satanism. And Satanism, basically, very simply put, is the idea that there are no restraints, there's not evil and there's not goodness. There's nothing to worry about. You can do anything to anyone. And you're not restrained from that. And that, if you start talking about social and moral relativism getting into our school systems and this do your own thing type of mentality, you're going to see that extrapolated, that is a form of very, very cryptic Satanism. That's the problem with this thing, is that when you talk like this, it's easy for people on the other side to characterize us as a bunch of nutcases and so forth. Oh, he's talking about Satanism. He's really off the wall, isn't he? I can hear him out there. I mean, I have friends that I went to high school with and they're not clicking yet on this. I go out and visit them and I walk into the restaurant. They say, oh, those black helicopters, huh, George? Yeah, yeah. And they laugh among themselves, but they're drowning in a sea of not understanding the real essence of their slavery. And the essence of their slavery is a delusional state of them not being able to see themselves as they're caught up in these ways of thinking that become addictive, compulsive, see, driven, see. We must begin to see ourselves as the best we can. It's not easy to see oneself, see. You know thyself. This was an old teaching, see. And I've harped on this before, but I have to get back to it because it is the core of what I'm talking about in many cases, is to come out of that state. You do it through forgiveness. as when you harbor these resentments and these little hatreds and stuff like that, you're only supporting this false self. That false self was created shortly after birth, and it is a shoot off. It's a split off from that real core self. And so everyone is only dealing with each other's false selves primarily, but not realizing that that's what they're interacting with. Everyone is interacting with each other's false selves, see? But they never get down to that core. Only when they really have an understanding and they can sit down and have a good cry together do the core selves, the real selves, come together with understanding and realization and enlightenment. But see, that's outside of all of this mind wash and this mind control and all this television, all these ideas, all this gaming and all this, these games and stuff, see. We don't really need that stuff. It clouds the mind. What it does is that it mesmerizes the mind and pleases the mind because it's addicting the false self to additional feel good types of dynamics. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting into a pattern of thinking that pleases you, see? Well, that, when it does that, then it's going to support that ego. Now men are worse about this, are seeking out pleasure-driven types of self-ego in reinforcement than women. Even though the women now, they want to do like the men. Boy, that's a joke, isn't it? Women should be women and men should be men, and they should be what they are, and we're cast in these roles, see. And these roles are important for us to live through because we take on surrogate types of jobs and missions that I think are God-driven myself. So people that have come into my life, I take on a role of either a father or brother or whatever, and I minister to them, see. I talk to them. I listen to them. And that's what we've got to start doing is that we've got to start taking on a role again. Like I remember growing up over here in Austin, South Austin, is that we took lawn chairs out and sat out in lawn chairs and we actually had conversations. So to have a conversation, you had to know something. You had to have read a book. You've had to have read an article in a magazine instead of just this passive staring in the big old boob box there, see. So, to come out of this mesmerized condition and the education, we're educated into a system of a very, very well educated person today is educated into a system of thinking and they don't realize how restrictive and enslaving that system of thinking is. They think to a large extent that they're real smart and that they got a lot of knowledge and they went through, you know, the freshman and sophomore and junior and senior and the graduate degree. They got PhDs even, some of them. A friend of mine used to say that stands for piled higher, deeper, right? Just because you have stuff at the end of your name doesn't mean that you're moving towards an enlightened state. An enlightened state is one that you begin to manage your ego instead of letting it manage you. You don't let the mountain stream sweep you down to your death. You paddle out of that mountain stream, that system of thinking, that overwhelming strong current of thought that sweeps us away into an addictive, compulsive, slave thinking system. The Bilderberg meeting coming up over in Copenhagen at the end of May into June. Those people are being played just like any group is. They happen to be some of the wealthiest people in the world, but they are being managed also from a real top level of masters and sorcery type, witchcraft type level, see. But they don't really understand that because they've got wealth and they've got power themselves. But they are influenced to a certain way of thinking by other people that are even keener in thought and of how to manage them than they are. They don't understand. They're caught up in being managed themselves, see. They think that they're the ones managing. There's always upper levels above upper levels, see, that eventually start managing that, you know, the lower levels. I went over to London, went over to the Tavistock, sat down with Lynn Swan. I began to understand that all of these group therapies and group managements and corporate consultings, all that, it's just to manage the group of people into your working hard for the company, right? You got to get the corporate mentality. You see what I mean? But when you have corporate mentality that's been invested in by a lot of former Nazis, then you got a problem, see? And that's what we have in this world today. Is we have a lot of people that have this fascist mentality, but they don't call themselves Nazis anymore. But they're really close to that way of thinking. So when you had ominous parallels, like Peikoff years ago, he wrote this in the 60s. He said there was a parallel between Nazi Germany and pre-Nazi Germany and America, and a breakdown occurring in this country. We didn't have that breakdown accelerated until 9/11. And that 9/11 did a job on this country that is just the most evil thing that's ever happened. The people that put that together are truly treasonous and traitors to this country. America presented a problem for the New World Order. We still had religion, people that were God-centered and all this. But they had to break that. They had to break that down, because people that are God-centered, that believe, that have principles, that are armed, see, are problems. And that's what the Branch Davidians were in Waco. They decided to go in and take those people down because they were well-armed and they believed in God and their own message. So it presented a real problem, they thought, to the future, and they didn't expect a shootout that they got. We're going next week. Thank goodness Mike Hansen's going to come by and pick us up, me and some friends, and we're going to Waco. And we're going to be up there with Clive Doyle and Sheila Martin, and we're going to bow our heads, and we're going to recite all those names of not only the Branch Davidians, but those federal officers that lost their lives also. Because those federal officers, they had family and friends and so forth also, and they were missed. But Clive Doyle has class, the Branch Davidians have class, and they've never left out those six federal officers that lost their lives in Waco at the Branch Davidian complex. So that's saying a lot for them. So look out for that. We're going to be listen to this second hour, and you'll be able to hear more about that the Branch Davidian. And there's a fine professor there at Lamar University, Stuart Wright, and then Sheila Martin and Clive Doyle will also speak at the beginning. Well, that just pretty well wraps it up. Check our sites out, FukushimaSolutions.com. We are We the People, Bilderberg.com. We the People, Bilderberg.com. Go into Facebook and look for our event site in there. And we want to thank you for listening tonight. And God bless everyone. And I wish the best for everyone in our listening audience. And we just got to keep going. We can't give up on this country. We're getting close. The Nevada standoff out there, I pray that we don't have violence and that the feds wake up and back off of their very, very aggressive stance. And I just hope and pray that it will work out. But thank you for listening tonight, and good night.